7. It was far too early for a drink, but when Francois offered after bringing Hunter 3 fingers of scotch, I nodded, accepting the tumbler of amber liquid. Marcus took one too, glancing at me with doubt in his eyes. As far as I knew, he'd never drank scotch, and before I could tell him to sip it, he'd downed the contents. Hunter was considerate enough to pretend not to notice Marcus coughing, his eyes watering. When the billionaire raised his glass, I did the same, sipping from mine. It was smooth and full. The bottle probably cost more than my entire bank account currently held. "How did you find us?" I asked.
"There'll be time for that later," Hunter said, mischief in his eyes.
"You said once we were in your study." I glanced around, admiring the man's taste. He had an assortment of fine pieces from around the world, adorned and showcased from stunning dark wood shelves. I thought it might be African black wood, but couldn't be sure. The lights were dim, and we sat in the softest leather chairs I'd ever parked on, with a round table complete with a crystal ashtray centering it. An envelope sat precariously on the edge of the table, closer to Madison than to me, and he must have noticed my inquisitive stare.
"What is it that gets you up in the mornings?" Hunter Madison asked, his voice low and growly.
He took a long sip of his scotch and sat back, crossing his left leg over his right. His free hand fidgeted, playing with a thick white gold ring on his pointer finger. The question was a little esoteric for me. "Are you going to ask me what my sign is next?" He set his glass on the table and leaned closer to me.
"Rex, you have an opportunity. You wouldn't have come to see Hardy after all these years if you hadn't learned something new. What is it?"
I fought the urge to stand up and walk away. Fire burned in Hunter's eyes, an intensity I'd only ever seen in my own father. "You want to know what I'm after?" He nodded. "How about you mind your business?" I told him.
"Rex, your father was a great man. Don't ruin his legacy by turning me down today. If you have new information, I'll be here to support you. I need to learn what happened to Dirk Walker as much as you do."
"I doubt that," I muttered. He stretched his arm out, and his cuff slid up his wrist. I gawked at it, checking for any tattoo markings, but didn't see one.
"Did he ever tell you about our trip to the Galapagos?"
I shook my head.
"It was 86, and he had a lead to an artifact. I demanded to come, since I'd been funding his ventures for so many years, but had never tagged along. Clayton was against it, but Dirk, he was much more amiable to the hand that feeds. We flew in my private jet, which loosened his sidekick up a bit."
At the mention of my father's working partner, he glanced at Marcus.
"The islands were even more remote than they are today, and we shored on Isla Isabella, paying a couple of local kids to watch our boat. We got what we were after in only 2 days of searching."
Hunter stood from his seat, striding over to a display case across the study.
"What was it?"
Marcus asked, following Hunter. I finally joined them, knowing he must have a point to the story. The item beneath the glass covering was small, the size of an old silver dollar, but the markings on it were almost familiar in a vague sense.
"This was smuggled from ruins in southern Ecuador. The entire site was rumored to be haunted by the villagers found murdered there 700 years ago. It sat empty for most of that time, until an archaeologist from Spain braved the trek through the thick jungle to see what kind of credence the speculations held."
Hunter was a natural storyteller, and I was immersed in his tale. I leaned closer, trying to read the etchings on the metallic artifact. "And what did he discover?"
"This. There were countless other items that are still displayed around the world. He would have been rich if he'd lived long enough to sell them."
Hunter smiled and turned to face me.
"Your father tracked his movements to the Galapagos. It was really quite the thing to observe. He was like a bloodhound, that one."
"What is the coin?"
My voice cracked. Hunter's voice lowered.
"It's not of this earth."
"No way. You're trying to tell me this is from..."
Marcus looked to the ceiling.
Up there.
Hunter nodded.
I've had it tested on numerous occasions, and yes, as I said, many components are familiar. But not in the exact combinations.
I laughed. I tried to stop, but couldn't.
You can't be serious. No wonder my mother warned me never to trust you. Alien coins? What's next? Are you going to tell us you have a little green man frozen in your basement? Maybe a UFO in the garage?
Hunter set his hands on my shoulders so calmly that I didn't flinch.
Your father believed, Rex, and so do you. I know that to be true.
I coughed, irritated that the focus was on me again. What I believe isn't in question. I walked away, gazing into the next display case. It was familiar, since I'd seen pictures of it in old articles. The metal carving had been found in a remote region of Egypt, far from any known villages. How did you locate this?
I told you. I'm resourceful. More proof they exist, he said.
My mouth felt dry. Everywhere I looked, I spotted small artifacts that anyone in the business would claim represented otherworldly beings. Some I knew of, others were unfamiliar. And I judged, like the coin, that not many people had laid eyes on them before. How many of these did my father bring you?
Most. As you can see, I've been without my best treasure hunter for too long. I'd hoped you'd join me a decade ago, but that didn't pan out. Look at these, Rex. Aliens have been to Earth.
Marcus seemed uneasy, and he kept quiet as I returned to my seat.
What is the bridge?
The words were sticky on my tongue, and I grabbed my scotch, taking a heavy drink.
The bridge is the answer. Hardy claimed there was a route to another world. He suggested there were six objects hidden here on Earth, and when they were combined in the proper order, a gateway would connect the two places.
I drained the glass, setting the tumbler on the table.
What are you implying? That my father and Clayton found these items and, what, took a roller coaster ride to Alpha Centauri?
He shook his head.
I don't think it's anywhere near Alpha Centauri.
Marcus stood behind his seat, hands clutching the chair.
Wait, Rex, Madison isn't kidding. I told you this was real. What about this discovery near Pluto? Is it related?
Hunter grinned at my friend, but it wasn't a pleasant expression. His eyes deceived him.
I fear that is something else entirely.
My hands were sweating, my pulse erratic as I tried to absorb the half-truths and conjecture, one thing at a time. Where did my dad go? Hunter sat again, and, as if on cue, Francois returned with a remote and a decanter of liquor. He set both on the coffee table and departed without a word. Our host poured himself another drink and refilled our cups with a shaky grip.
I've told you all I know. Dirk was on his own mission with Clayton. They left me out of it. When I threatened to pull his funding, he walked away, telling me it didn't matter anymore. I tried to follow them, but they evaded me, in England. He was a wily one, Hunter said.
I contemplated the coordinates I'd found on Clayton's gravestone, leading me to Venezuela. Were they a hint to these artifacts? Had Clay left a trail for his daughter, or perhaps Hardy, to find? If so, maybe someone had already done their research and I'd be wasting my time regardless.
My father was in Portugal.
I gave the detail up in good faith. Hunter went rigid.
Portugal?
Of course.
Where?
I don't know. Everything came up empty for me. I spent months there.
Wait, Rex, didn't Hardy say something in Portuguese?
Marcus asked.
He had. I repeated the word. Estrelas.
He said it twice, then something about how Dirk can't leave without him.
Interesting,
Hunter said, tapping his neatly trimmed beard. Marcus was on his phone, and I knew what he was doing. In all the excitement, we'd forgotten to check what the word meant.
You don't need that. It means stars. And also a sight few are aware of.
Hunter Madison took another drink and lifted the remote from the table.
I assume you're one of the few. I asked.
I may have visited the location,
Hunter whispered as he pressed a button on the control. A discreet screen on the dark wall flashed on, momentarily blinding me. A video played, showing rough footage in black and white. "Ever heard of the Believers?"
"Isn't that a band or something?" Marcus asked.
"No, it's a cult," I answered. "An old one. They don't still exist." Hunter smiled, showing teeth.
"Life would be much simpler if that were the case, no. The Believers are around, though perhaps with fewer members than before. Or perhaps many more, it's difficult to tell."
I watched the video, seeing over 100 people as they marched through a stone corridor, each wearing a dark cloak, their faces obscured by heavy cowls.
"I don't like the looks of this," Marcus said.
"They used to be harmless, a group of people fascinated with the stars, like so many have been, since the dawn of time. They began as scientists, explorers, doctors, and—"
Hunter pointed at me.
"Archaeologists, like yourself."
"What happened to them?"
Marcus asked as the camera tracked the last cloaked person into a circular room. Unrecognizable symbols were painted in a dark color on the floors and walls of the cavern, and the Believers circled a center pedestal where a shiny item lay unmoving.
"A man named Thomas Rembrandt joined. He was an unconventional millionaire from the south of France, carrying with him a lot of ideologies about what the Believers should be, and many followed him because of his wealth. Believe me, once you have money, it's easy to get what you want."
He glanced at me while he said this, and I returned my gaze to the screen. There was no audio accompanying the footage, but I could almost hear the synchronous chanting as their bodies swayed back and forth. I'd heard some of the stories from my old professor, though he always made it sound like they were seeking facts, not grasping hands and singing to old relics. This looked like something from a movie, and for a second I wondered if Hunter Madison was having fun with us. Marcus was freaked out.
"What are they doing?"
"This item was rumored to be a link to the beings they worship. Apparently it had nothing to do with them and was merely a depiction of an Incan god,"
Hunter told him.
"How do you know so much?" I asked curiously.
His eyes shone again, but he didn't smile as he set the remote down.
"I was there. I used to be one of them."
The video ended, and I could only gape at Hunter as he waited for me to speak.
"You were one of the Believers? Did my father know that?"
He shook his head firmly.
"I left them in the late 70s, a few years after Dirk and I got into business with each other. Rembrandt died, and I didn't like the direction the group was taking. Things were growing desperate."
"And you think they're still around?" I asked.
"They are. And they're much more threatening than ever."
I considered the men outside of El Mirador, my townhouse being broken into, the car that might be following me.
"Do they know who I am?"
Marcus laughed nervously.
"Why would they care who you are? You're a prof in Boston."
"They know you, Rex. That's why you must accept my help. We need to find the bridge."
Hunter's hand continued to tremble as he reached for his drink, and I passed it to him.
"Why the urgency? If you've been searching for this long, what's the rush?"
I asked him.
"Plus, you say you've visited this Estrellas before."
"If I explain, will you consider my offer?"
came his reply. Marcus was on the edge of his seat, clearly invested in our conversation. I could tell he wanted to join forces with this rich man, if only for the romantic idea of an adventure. But seeing the chanting cloaked Believers in that footage had me worried.
"I'll contemplate it."
"There are two reasons why I must reach the bridge,"
he started.
"The Believers foretold of an age where we'd encounter visitors from another planet. They'd come from the outer reaches of the solar system and arrive at Earth, not to meet us peacefully, but to rule our kind."
"And they encourage this?"
Marcus barked.
"They'll welcome them as part of their demented fantasy. Their minds are brainwashed, and they actually believe they'll be rewarded for their faith and patience."
"And you think this is related to what, the shapes near Pluto?" I asked, trying to determine if Hunter Madison was as mad as the cult he spoke against.
"It doesn't matter if I believe the object is related, but that they do. Things are in motion here, Rex. Things that will be dire to our planet if we don't act on it.
Hunter spoke with so much passion I instantly found myself trusting him. You said there were two reasons why it was imperative, I reminded him. That's only one.
The other is my own selfish motivation, which is...
The screen flipped off, leaving the room darker. Shadows creased his face as he leaned closer.
I'm dying.